Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, mister, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
That's right, you are listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman, in the studio with my lovely wife and co-host, Kimberly, as well as a group of beautiful warrior moms that we're going to be talking to today. We're recording this at the Autism One conference in Chicago, airing the following week because we're just trying to fit in so many different guests on the programs. We will be bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. First, we're going to go around the table and introduce you to just a few of the many incredible Thinking Mom Revolution members. We're going to start here with the lovely and the one that everybody knows because she's already been on the Linderman Unleashed program, Lisa Joyce Goes. Have at it.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, so flattering. So nice to think everybody might know me in a good way. I'm Lisa Joyce Goes. I go as the Rev on the Thinking Moms Revolution, and privileged to be here today and excited to talk about everything that's happening at Autism One.
All right.
And it's Allison McNeil, and my name is Mama Mac on the Thinking Moms Revolution, and I have to tell you, it's my privilege to be part of this group of amazing moms, and it's probably one of the most hopeful experiences that I've encountered in autism.
Great.
Hi, my name is Judy Tenderi, and I am known as Mama Bear for my fiercely protective nature, and I am also tremendously honored and blessed to be part of this group of women that are making a difference every single day in many, many people's lives. So I'm looking forward to continuing to do that.
My name is Kim Spencer, and on the Thinking Moms Revolution, I go by the name Blaze, for reasons unknown to me and anybody else, right? But this has been, I've been in the autism fight for about 8 years with my son, who's now 11. So in those 8 years, I've come across so many amazing people, and now I am so excited to be together with these 23 moms and one dad that really, really are putting their minds together to make a change. We need a change. Action has to happen. More action.
There's no doubt about that. Kim, you want to just say something about the Moms Revolution?
Well, just ask you guys, how did it all start? And what are you talking about when you say change and action? So I guess if, you know, if everybody wants to chime in.
And keep in mind, we're at a roundtable discussion, so we're trying to raise our voices a little bit so the mic picks up and everything. We're not in a studio. We're in a hotel room sitting around a table. So the message is what's important here, not the quality. So
Great. Well, I think probably the best person to address that would be Kim, because she brought me in when everybody had already formed. There was this dynamic group of women that she was telling me about. And, you know, we're all at this point members of like 100 groups on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, she called me up one day and said, I don't know, I think you might want to check these women out. Is there, you know, a group that you might want to be a part of? And I thought, sure, I'll check them out. And from there, it just kind of flowered into this amazing union of moms who are working so hard to recover their children, who are seeing progress, who are trying so many different things and seeing results. And I think most importantly, completely and totally supporting each other in a non-judgmental environment.
It was an interesting way that we all fell into it. I mean, it's been a couple of years, you know, going through the autism journey. In the last few years, it's been easy to find Facebook as a way to find other moms and compare notes. And so we made a Facebook group of a bunch of people who were looking into a certain avenue of treatment for their children and to share and learn. And some of us, most of us were using the same provider for the interventions that we were studying. So there were probably, 50, 60 of us. And, you know, through the years, it kind of dwindled down to a group of 24 friends who all decided at last year's Autism One that we were going to try to write a book. And we got everybody to write a chapter that wanted to get involved. With the 50 of us, 50 or 60 of us, everybody had a chance to write their chapter. And those that did and turned it in by the deadline, we just turned in our chapters and there it was. We were shopping this book. And then someone had the great idea that if we were going to be popular to a publisher or we were going to be able to shop this book, that it would be a great idea if we had went ahead and created an online presence for ourselves, for Facebook and also as a blog. Mm-hmm. So literally within about 5 days, I think one of the Thinking Moms went, boom, here's your blog, girl, sign up for a date and start writing. So there we were, having no idea what we had just done, how much time it was going to take, how much change was going to come from it, how much excitement, but also how much work. But we've been really lucky that so far and since February that this has just gone crazy. And we've had a blast with the most dire of circumstances with our children and with the most serious of subject matters that, you know, we've been able to find a way to, you know, get out there and make people smile and to realize that we're not alone in this. And it's been great.
It's really refreshing. Because, for one thing, you each take turns writing your blog. And this is not blog for the faint of heart. This is a blog of moms that know exactly what's going on and you don't mess with the mama bears. You know, and that's what it is. I think it's a group of ladies that are really just pissed off at being ignored and their children being ignored. And that's what I love about it. There's no doubt about it. You were going to say?
I was going to say, one of the things that attracted me so much to the energy that we were creating, and I was trying to kind of put some thoughts around it for myself. I said, why am I so into this? And I realized that we are a group of people who don't wait around for somebody to do it for us.
Right.
And I think there are a lot of different channels for action in the autism community, but a lot of them have a bit of a hierarchy, and there's a lot of needing to ask for permission.
Mm.
And this was a situation where we are an equal, power is shared equally among the group. You need to maybe check an idea out with the group. But essentially, we aren't looking for anybody's permission to say what we know. And we had tremendous things to say. We had, a ton of words to throw at our experiences. And what I found in the people that are commenting on our blog and the people that have come up to us at Autism One and said, I love Thinking Moms Revolution, is that these are parents, too, and some of them with kids that were diagnosed, 3 months ago, who are coming on and saying, I am the kind of person that, it's either, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Exactly.
And these are leaders, every single one of our commenters.
Right. Be great. And I think that, we're very down to earth, as intense as many of the parents can be and as experienced as they are in the therapies and the things that they have used. A lot of the comments that we've been hearing is, when I sit down in the morning with my cup of coffee, I cannot wait to read your blog because one day it might be something really serious and talking about a diet, a specific something that we all struggle with. And then the next day it could be something about how, you struggled going to the park because your kid had a really bad day. Right. And then the next day it's something funny. And I think that we really connect with people in that way because it's not just about a specific therapy or something specific we're doing. They relate to us because we put out there what we do every day. Mm-hmm. Some days are great and some days are really awful. And they can cry with us and they can laugh with us and they can say, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. That's so great. And let me pass on that information. And then they ask questions. And most of us try very, very hard to respond to every single comment that is made on our blogs. And I think that makes people feel like we're not above it all.
You're not Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, I'm not Jenny McCarthy. God, only I wish I looked like her, though.
I know.
But no, I'm no Jenny McCarthy, But at the same time, in some ways, I am like Jenny McCarthy because she's a mom who's dealing with trying to recover her son. And that's the bottom line for all of us. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're just sort of feeding off of each other.
And I think what you're doing there with the blog, like you were talking about, as far as one day it might be serious and one day it might be funny and one day it just might be completely irreverent. Not to, we know who we're talking about here, Rev. But the fact of the matter is, that's life. And in the course of one day, in the course of an hour before school, you're crying and laughing and mad. So it really is. It kind of projects just the life of the autism mom.
Yes.
And that does resonate.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've all come to a place where we communicate on such a sophisticated level about treatments and doctors and causation and science, we blow our own minds sometimes. So I can only imagine what the mainstream community hears when they hear us speaking. And I think what I think we feel in this community, which has been needed for so very long at a very basic level, is that safe place to fall without judgment. We don't judge you if you've been trying to do this for 8 years and nothing's happening. We don't judge you if you've been on Risperdal for 12 years. We're not going to judge those actions. We want you to feel safe to come to our blog, to hear our stories, and to know that this experience, this rage, this joy, this happiness, this frustration, all of these very real human experiences that you're supposed to just stifle so that you can function are very real. And there are thousands, nay, millions probably, of people going through this, and we want those moms and dads and caregivers and grandmothers like Maureen, out there who are working so hard to help their children. This is a place where you can come and know that you are not alone, and we're all trying to do it together.
Well, and that's well said. And there's no doubt that that's exactly what's going on with the Thinking Moms Revolution. Now, it's really amazing the presence that you've all gotten in relatively a short amount of time. You've just exploded out there. And
amazing.
I think it is because it resonates. You're real. You're dealing with real emotions. And it does. It just fires people up. And some of the blog, we started talking about some of the blogs that you've written right away when we started the new program on Natural News Radio, just because it was so pertinent, it was so real, and it was easy to talk about because Kim and I live what y'all are writing, and it was really easy to talk about.
Yeah, and I think everyone has seen Allison's recent letter to her pediatrician post.
Love
which...
Hello, Dr. Asshat.
You can say that.
You're out there.
I love the top hat.
She just talked about that, like, oh, can I say that?
Yes, if it's true,
Asshat
it's
is
not
fine. It's a real name, right?
I want to say something about the writing aspect of this. You know, some of the folks that are in the Thinking Moms have done a lot of writing and a lot of advocacy. Kim's been advocating in her community for years, and LJ's done a lot of writing, and some of other, Kat Jameson's done a ton of writing for mm-hmm. H-Autism, yeah. And I could go on like that. Other people also have done a ton of writing in their professional lives. But many of us haven't done a lot of writing, and we can feel very, very insecure about our writing, and we can feel very worried about it. And it's funny because some of the posts that people have fretted about, written the most quickly, turned in at 11 o'clock at night and said, this is my worst, I'm so sorry, I'll try harder next time, have been the ones that have floored the people that have read them.
Yeah.
They've been the ones that have been the most meaningfully received. And I love that.
And your recent post we're going to talk about as soon as we get back from this commercial break. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com. Are you frustrated with surging grocery prices and the very real possibility of empty grocery store shelves? If the food transportation system were disrupted, how long could you and your family live on the food in your home pantry? Being prepared for what life might throw your way provides a tremendous peace of mind. A home food store is the perfect insurance against the unknown and the unforeseen. It often seems like a daunting task to start, store, and use your food storage. Beth Dunsing, an independent consultant with Shelf Reliance, offers you an easy and healthy solution. Thrive Foods. Thrive Foods are healthy, delicious, GMO-free foods with no additives, no preservatives, and a long 20 to 30 year shelf life without refrigeration. Food so delicious, you will want to use them every day. Beth will help you use the free online planning tools to customize a food storage plan that fits your family, your budget, and your space. Guarantee that you will never look into the eyes of a hungry loved one and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Food is key to your family's survival. To receive a personal password to guarantee you receive the low Linderman Unleashed pricing, send an email to me at lindermanunleashed@hotmail.com. Get started today. Hey folks, it's Kurt Linderman, host of Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com. Are you a parent who wants to educate your children on vaccine issues so that they are equipped with the truth when faced with peer and social pressures from the pro-vaccine crowd? Are they prepared to deal with the pro-vaccine messages from the media found in cartoons, schools, and commercials? Are you a professional in need of a quick reference for your patients regarding vaccine ingredients, side effects, and exemptions? If so, No Vaccines for Me is for you. No Vaccines for Me is the first interactive family book written as a resource for like-minded parents and professionals who choose not to vaccinate. No Vaccines for Me is written in an easy-to-read format with great illustrations. No Vaccines for Me facilitates discussion and educates readers of all ages, especially children. No Vaccines for Me books and t-shirts can be ordered at NoVaccinesForMe.com. NoVaccinesForMe.com. Educate yourself. Educate your children. NoVaccinesForMe.com.
Hey, CDC. The Lindermans refuse to lower their standards, so up yours. And now, back to Linderman Unleashed.
That's right, we're back. You're listening to NaturalNewsRadio.com. Linderman Unleashed. We're back with the Thinking Moms Revolution. We're talking about this post that really did resonate among the community. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's easy to attack the pediatricians out there, but I'm hearing people say, it's not the pediatrician's fault, and I get so angry about that. Because, yes, it is. The message that y'all are bringing out there to the people, the message that this community has brought out to the pediatricians and the general public for so long, should have at least made these pediatricians say, there's something to this. And the main message is, the government, the AAP, the AMA are lying to you, and that should have been enough to at least turn around and say, let me look into this myself because I am an individual. And when you don't do that after hearing all this, it's your fault and you're the criminal and you're poisoning children. It's that simple to me. But let's talk about that post.
So I wrote a post recently, and it was the letter that I wish that I could send to my pediatrician. And it was actually extremely cathartic to write. I wrote it, and I let something go. And it was some rage I've been carrying around. And I think sometimes, you know, when you're carrying a fair amount of anger, it can get in the way of the healing that you need to do as a family, and that may be sort of getting in the way in the healing of your child. And it's this piece that I needed to let go of. One of the things I said in my letter to my pediatrician was that I cannot say the name of my pediatrician in my house in front of my husband because he is so filled with anger and grief. That's how we feel. One of the paragraphs I took out of the letter that was in there before, my son is very interested in buses, and I take my son to watch buses almost every evening now in Cambridge. The new thing is tunnels, and so we go stand at Harvard and watch buses. And my asshat pediatrician's face is on a billboard on buses.
Oh, no.
And damn if I don't see it at least once every 2 weeks, and my instinct is to want to throw rotten tomatoes at the picture.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really needed to let some of this go. I was thinking last night as I went to sleep, I was thinking, you know, for $25, a pediatrician could have had entrance to this conference, gotten CMEs or whatever they're called, you know, for doctor, mainstream doctors, and they could be picking up this information, just handed to them on a silver platter, and right. They're not here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think if we're talking about the early 80s, if a pediatrician were to say, you know, we just didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
It's 2012. You know.
Exactly.
And we know you know.
Well, Allison and I, you and I were having this discussion earlier of where does the fault lie? And as a human being, if we were not personally involved, you know, with having children that are affected, would we be the person that would take, you know, the fall for the blame and say, I will take this on? Like, for example, if it was the pediatricians or someone at the CDC or, you know, whoever it is that might hold that piece of information that would break this story wide open and save a generation of children.
Yeah.
You know, I think we would all say that we would cut our arms off with a credit card if that would stop it.
Yeah.
You know, like at what point would you take the fall for all of this? Would you go to jail? You know, like, for example, the rumor that, you know, Bob Wright at Autism Speaks, it has a contract with GE, his former employer, that says he's not to compromise the stockholders at GE. So if he were to come out and say, yes, I believe that Famarisol causes autism, then he would have broke his contract with his employer and compromised the stockholders because GE also owns, well, they own NBC and also owned the Famarisol plant.
Right.
And that would compromise the income of their stockholders and that he, and now this is all purely rumor, but would you, if you were Bob Wright, would you have thrown yourself under the bus and said, yes, I'll compromise my lifetime income and go to jail to save a generation of children?
What?
And I used to work for a pediatrician, and I have to say that this is also a consideration with them, is that they are throwing their livelihood and all their hard work under the bus if they do this. Mostly because the biggest thing that I learned is if you, as a pediatrician, insurance companies can come in and audit your records. And if your kids aren't fully vaccinated, a certain percentage of your kids aren't fully vaccinated, they can pull that insurance from a pediatrician's office.
And so, you know what? I'm sorry, but that does not work with me, because that is like saying you're walking on a street corner and there's a little baby crossing the road and there's a bus coming down the road. Do you stand there because you're compromising your life, or do you jump in front of that bus and try to save that baby?
Right.
And that's the way I look at it.
Right.
And if you're not doing that, you're a criminal. And I don't care about your livelihood because you're going home to a child that you're probably not vaccinating, you lying piece of crap. And that's the way I look at it.
You know, it's interesting. The blog piece on Dr. Asshat was picked up by Cafe Mom. And the person that posted it said, you know, I want you all to read this, and said it in a lovely way. But the comments to the piece were from moms of much younger children than mine. My son is 7. And their comments were, how can she blame her pediatrician? It's the mom's responsibility to do her own research. Well, my son is 7. And so we were vaccinating the hell out of him in 2004.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listen to NPR every day. I watch many. I grew up in a journalism family. I'm a news junkie.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about this. And so if there was research out there, I didn't know about it, and I did
Same
have my
us.
Ear to the ground. And so when these moms say this now, the research that they are doing is the fact that we have been talking about
this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And Kim, I didn't mean it to sound like I was disagreeing with you.
No.
I know you're making a point there.
I see what position they're in, but I mean, do we all agree that we would like to say that if we were those people that could save a generation of children, that we would make the
choice
how
to could
do
you
it
not?
At our own personal sacrifice. I think I would like to say that I would be that person.
Exactly.
How would you put your head on the pillow at night? What level of substance abuse would be necessary to numb yourself to the damage you know you're doing?
Exactly. And that is really the super case there is it is evident. People know this. I know these pediatricians know it. And if not, they, like I said before, they at least know the controversy and they should be thinking for themselves, especially when it's just common sense that a lot of this has to do with profit and they know the profit margins of the pharmaceutical companies that they're listening to.
Right.
You know, that's the key.
Well, and I think we have a pretty controversial situation at home with our ped. You know, obviously we know that we need to maintain relationships with our pediatric community because our children get legitimately sick, and we need doctors in the mainstream community who basically can advocate for our child, since there is no standard of care for autism. My friend Jill Rubolino, who's an extraordinarily brilliant medical mind, always says, you know, if you have schizophrenia and bowel disease, there's a standard of care for that when you walk in the ER. There is no standard of care for children with autism, which to me reeks of guilt. But our personal situation is that after years and years of searching for a mainstream pediatrician for our other children, just in case, we found one who treated his own child with autism with homeopathy after unsuccessfully trying to treat him through the mainstream psychiatric community, which we could do that show for 4 hours.
Yeah.
But he works in the system. He's part of a pediatric practice of 15 physicians. He is the only one who will respect a parent's desire not to vaccinate. One time I had to take Noah in at a time when he was incredibly ill because of his vaccine injury, and I had to see a mainstream pediatrician because I had to get antibiotics for the particular situation we were enduring, and I was furious because he's treating him under a sign that shows two people holding a picture of their child who's now deceased, advocating for the DTaP vaccine. The child passed away before he could have even gotten the DTaP vaccine. His body would never have been able to handle it. He was like 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it was all, and I looked at this pediatrician and I said, how do you do this every day? How do you come to this office enraged? And he then proceeded to respond to my rage with his own rage. And he's like, you have no idea what this is like. You don't, everything that Kim just said, you know, we get audited and we have overhead and we have people to pay and we have a staff. And it's very difficult, and I'm doing the best I can, and I am grateful for his presence, but it's such a bizarre, it's almost like an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I'm grateful for his presence in the mainstream community, but at the same time, I'm like, what is it, like you said, what level of substance abuse, or what level of, how do you rationalize
self-loathing.
This? Yes.
There has to be a large level of self-loathing, because you know what happened to your child, and yet you're injecting other children on a daily basis, and there has to be just a shutoff valve.
And more and more lately, I get the phone calls of tearful mothers saying, I just went to my pediatrician and they screamed at me when I questioned.
Yep.
Not had a logical conversation, did not answer any questions, just raging on the parents. Two in the last week I've had. And this goes to show you where their minds are.
Right.
It's so irrational. They are so under the gun. They so know what they've done. They so can't face it. You know, they've dedicated their lives to this field that has absolutely thrown them under the bus, and their psychological reactions are bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre. You know,
as a Generation Rescue Angel, one of the most common questions I get answered that I do not have an answer for in Massachusetts is, where can I find a mainstream pediatrician who will have an open mind about my vaccine choices? I don't have an answer for them, and it is a continuous struggle for me as a family.
Well, I think the key here, and this is something that I've discussed on a number of programs recently, is when you look at the whole idea of the specialty of pediatrics, it's only been around for about 50 or 60 years. And you look at the level of our children's health in the last 50 to 60 years, and you go, guess what? I don't think we really need pediatricians.
No.
You know, we really don't. If you could find a good old-fashioned family physician to take care of the infections and to take care of the, hey, I think my child has a broken bone and can you see, or whatever it is, and get rid of the entire pediatric profession, because from what I've seen so far, since the invention of that whole idea and that whole specialty, our children's health has steadily declined rapidly.
Absolutely. When you know how you have the sort of prophetic pre-autism moments, maybe even before you had children. My husband and I, before we had kids, were watching PBS one night, and there was a documentary on a family doctor in Appalachia in the 60s. And we just got kind of sucked into this program. And one of the things that was so interesting was that her first response to a child with multiple ear infections was to take milk out of the diet. And wow. Here we were, I think I was about 32, no kids, and my husband and I were sort of struck by this.
And now...
In the 60s!
Yeah, and 45, 50 years later, and here we are, and they've forgotten it.
So Nick had multiple ear infections as his immune system began to crash. I think his system was actually trying to drain out the toxins. And what did he get but back-to-back multiple courses of antibiotics?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's part of how his regression, and I actually blame the antibiotics and the process that was going on between the vaccination and the antibiotics. I think it was very twofold for us. So what did Nick end up with? 4 sets of ear tubes.
Yeah.
And the first intervention we did when we clued into Biomed, which was a year after Nick's diagnosis and he was 3 years old, was we took him off of dairy. And within 10 days, he had stopped having... He had basically his 10 explosive diarrhea episodes a day went down to 5. And he started putting 2 words together. And there I am back in Appalachia in the 1960s.
Right. You know, you've got the exact... Kim's shaking her head, yes.
And it's the exact nodding same her head story.
It's
the
our story. Story. It is our story. We're going to talk more about this as well as trying to get Mama Bear to talk a little bit as soon as we come back from this station break. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, Doc, why don't you listen to Linderman Unleashed?
You can't handle the truth!
And we're back. Yep, Yep, we're here with the Thinking Moms Revolution. Actually, four members of a much larger group. But Mama Bear, we need to hear from you. We haven't heard from you. So let's talk a little bit. I'm going to ask you to lean forward because you're the one right behind the mic.
Okay.
But let's talk about a little bit about what got you involved with this and a little bit of your story then.
Okay.
What you're writing.
Well, you know, as I was listening to all these wonderful moms speak, you know, it's funny that they talk about how, you know, where to place the blame. And I think we can all relate to that emotion where at one point or another, of course, we blame ourselves.
Okay,
how many times do you want to kick yourself in the teeth for listening to that doctor? You know, where my pediatrician, there were times when I took my kids to the doctor with a sore throat and, you know, they take a culture and before your results even come back, they're already writing a script for you. And they say, why don't you start him on those antibiotics? Because I have a strange feeling that's what it's going to be. And you blindly go into it. Now I have my son Nicholas, who's 8 now, who's on the spectrum. He's my third. So I have two older neurotypical kids. So as any parent, I went through their vaccinations. They didn't have a reaction. So what do you do when your third comes along? You go with the flow, you do what they tell you to do, and then you start to realize, you know, well, wait a minute, you know, what happened to the eye contact and what's happening here? And you're realizing that there's just this immense, it's just an assault on their immune system. Before he had a chance to recover from one thing, you know, he was slammed with something else. And his body reacted very differently than my older two. And he had seizures, both of which, he's had two seizures so far, both were right after his flu vaccine. Now, I'm from New Jersey, and it was the first state that mandated flu vaccines for children entering school. So that was a struggle for us, and we are still with that pediatrician, but probably only because when I finally walked into his office and I said, we could do this the nice way or we could do this the hard way, and you're going to sign these exemption forms. And he looked at me, and I don't know if it was sheer disgust. Yeah, that's a Jersey in me. But I don't know if it was disgust or fear, you know, but he didn't ask any questions. And he signed the papers. And, I was listening to a lecture earlier, and they made a really good point. They said, you know, one of the things, as much as we loathe, you know, some of these pediatricians that we swear we will never, ever go back to, I think one of the best things we can do is that as our children progress and hopefully recover, to go back and say, look what we did. You know,
look what's possible.
And if 1 out of 10, if 1 out of 100 of those doctors says, wow, you know what? I did see that kid, and I know what he was like when he was in here, and I know what he's like now. I'm seeing it with my own eyes. Perhaps if there's that little tiny heart left in that Grinch soul of theirs, you know, they can turn around and say, you know what, let me explore this just a little bit more.
You're talking Kim's story.
Yeah, and you know, it's back to one of the questions you asked. You said, how are we different as far as, like, you know, we're always talking about action. Action, action, action. And I think that, you know, when this all started, you know, many years ago, it was about awareness. And I think today, we're aware. You have to be living under a rock to not be aware of this epidemic. So now, my question is, you're aware. Now, what the hell are you going to do about it?
Right.
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do, whether it's telling your story or fighting for somebody else? And I think that's kind of what makes the Thinking Moms Revolution so amazing, is that we back each other up. We may have different experiences, we may use different therapies, but, you know, when that person gets on and says, oh, you know, I had this today or this happened to me, we are all right there saying, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And I just wish that the general population was that way.
Well, and I think the Thinking Moms Revolution is the evolution of the reaction, because you got to think, we're not in action here, because we're not the ones that started this. we're reacting to our children being damaged. And I think at first, with the whole awareness thing and with the whole, we're not sure what's going on, but this is our theory, we tried to get a seat at the table, and we were very demure and politically correct. And we realized that in that reaction, we did not miss the bus heading for us. So we've learned to get a little bit more of a violent reaction because we got to get the hell out of the way. And our reaction is just becoming more, and I don't want to use the word violent, becoming more
vehement and intense
because we've realized that nice demure reaction isn't working.
And I think a lot of people came by our booth here at Autism One saying, I want to be a thinking mom, how do I sign up? And obviously I explained on one of our previous shows, we actually are a corporation, so we we all wrote this book together, so we have a business interest together. But what we're telling those moms is, you are a thinking mom.
Yeah.
You are a thinking mom. You go into your local community and you talk to the people there about your experience specifically. Kim is the guru of that, of getting that done, getting on the news, talking, and just, you know, nobody's talked to me about a gluten-free diet lately. I think I need to call up my local press and see if they're going to have a conversation with me. And it's that simple. I mean, if we keep going to our local papers and we keep saying what's happening, you can't deny the truth. I mean, this grassroots movement is so powerful and so strong. It's undeniable. I struggle with that so much. Just, I was talking to my parents on my phone in the car, trying to find a spot in the parking lot, which I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So I went to like overflow parking, and there's still like, 8-10 cars deep that way. And I said, we're all here in this place. All of us, smart, intelligent, doctors, educators, authors, celebrities, all of us here. And we are just all off our rocker. All of us.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, talking about finding a way to just start reacting. Kim, you're, like she said, the guru at that. Linderman Unleashed really morphed from me writing a local weekly paper, an op-ed every week. And it was a local, like, liberal rag that they'll print anything. And I just started printing just about vaccines. And that's what's morphed into this program. So we can all really make that difference, like you were talking about, Lisa.
So tough, though. I mean, think of all those parents out there that are just underwater. Single parents, no support, no money, and very ill children. That they could barely leave the house, barely get on the computer. You know, so I think we all feel really privileged that our lives have set us up, to be able to get out and do some of this.
And speak for those that can't.
And take on the ball, There may be a day, and with the 24 of us, now it's really great, too, because if any of us get underwater, there's enough of us to take the slack and say, go, turn your face away from your computer and into your home for this week. It's fine.
Right.
So, but yeah, there's so many, and more, so many more exponentially every year, that are dealing with this, that hopefully we're going to be loud enough to be able to push it so that more and more people do speak. Because people have been screaming for years. I mean, let's not say that we're doing something new here. I mean, the Lou Jean Clarks and the Lynn Redwoods of the world are out there having, done these marches long before Jenny came along, long before we were doing any of this, and the dents that they made were massive, and lots of people know, but more people need to know.
We
more
are standing on the shoulders of some incredible pioneers.
Yeah,
I think that adds to the level of frustration, because we're standing on the shoulders of these pioneers, but yet the children are still showing up.
The newly diagnosed parents are
still here.
And the pioneers, like you said earlier, were very politically correct. Please,
because
sir,
they really
may I have a seat at the table. And another thing, when you were talking about the pediatricians and how can they go to sleep at night, the only reason that we saw a difference in our doctor, vaccine injured our child, who I stayed with and educated and brought her to Autism One, and she learned, but the only reason she changed some of her practices is because she adopted a boy who had eczema, milk allergies. I don't really seriously think that it was just my son and her seeing the difference in him. Once I started biomedical treatment with him and continued to take him, it was because she was personally affected. They're going to be personally affected in some way. And another thing, you're talking about the awareness, and I talked about it on a previous show, the awareness that we need to have now is the awareness of avoiding autism. I don't want people to be standing on my shoulders, or LJ's shoulders, or Allison's shoulders, or Mama Bear, or Kim. I don't want anybody standing on my shoulders.
Yes. We need to wrap this up.
Yeah. We would gladly walk away.
And I think that is the underlying thing. I mean, with the thinking moms revolution, that's what we're saying to people is think. Think before you say something. You know, whether it's a kind word to somebody. Think before you turn away blindly from something. Like all these people that we talked about that were screaming. Oh, you know, for many, many years, it fell on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important what you just said, because I think our goal is not only to have people speak out that are affected. We want to get to the point where we've reached those that aren't affected, that are still advocates.
Yeah.
Those moms who are carrying their children and have already made the decision to be really careful with what they're going to do. And they don't have a child on the spectrum. You know, like I said, I mean, you know, I don't know if things would have been different had Nicholas been my first child. You know, I don't know if I would have, obviously I would have done things differently had I known. But, you know, we wanted to, these people and these doctors that are in school now, you know, these young people that are practicing medicine, to say, you know what, I'm going to take a different avenue. I don't want to be that doctor that can't go to sleep at night. I want to be able to recognize, you know, the symptoms and say, you know, how can we do this naturally? How can we do this? I want to listen to these parents, because the bottom line is that, you know, these mothers, everything, you know, we are the ones that would throw ourselves under the bus. I would give my last breath to make my son's next breath easier when he's having an asthma attack, you know? And that is how we need to go into it. And I know that it's more intense, but to find that person that isn't personally involved, doesn't have somebody that's on the spectrum, and have them say, mm-hmm. you know what? I am with you. I am following you. I am backing you up 100%. That's where we need to get, you know, that point. And that's the message we're trying to send is think.
And that's real important. And to go back to something that Kim said, and I'd like all of your opinion on this. And I think this is one of the profound issues, is she was talking about those pioneers that were standing on their shoulders and how they were trying to be politically correct. I think the reason they were and asking for a seat at the table was because this really is a duh moment. It was so easy. It was like, hello, everybody's going to understand. They're going to see what the issue is, and they're going to say, yes, we can change this. Our kids. And they really thought this is a no-brainer. And the reason we're so angry is because they did what they did because of that just common sense. And we realized it's more than common sense. This is a conspiracy. They are conspiring to cover this up. And we've got to get a little angrier now, because we've seen that part doesn't work. That avenue we can't travel down.
No, I agree completely. And I think for me, anyone who reads Evidence of Harm in the Simpsonwood, anybody who reads the Simpsonwood transcripts, and anyone who sees the incredible level of scientific and medical data that was presented by our team, by Sally Bernard et al., everyone who reads that and sees the copious amounts of work that went into that, the labor, the intellectual, at the time that these first families took away from their own families.
Liz Burt.
Yeah, Liz Burt.
Mark Laxalt.
Sally Bernard. All of them, what they've done, and you see that compelling data, and what flowed from it was a very quiet press release on the 4th of July, very late in the day, that said, the Marisol does not cause harm, but we took it out anyway. And you think that's how they've addressed it. That's right. How they've addressed it. And I agree with you completely. We are at a point where we've said this repeatedly on your show, and I don't know how many more times we can say it, that we're not at a loss for intellectual capital. We have brilliant scientists on our team who are silenced, who are sequestered and called freaks, and things are made up about them that are not true. And we are at a place where we have to stand up. We, as moms, have to stand up for those physicians and say, this is viable, this is real, this is happening, and we have to do something about it. What do you think, Allison?
I just agree with everything you say, but I always do.
That's why we're thinking moms. We share a brain.
I always think that my theories that I've been coming up with lately are really just that, you know, of course, with the presidential election coming up, there's so much attention being given to the economy. And, you know, what's going on with that and all these decisions to be made. My own personal congressman was really on my side until he got on, you know, one of those committees in the House, you know, where they were dealing with the economy. He's just so tied up with that he can't focus on anything else. And, you know, people really are looking at me like I've lost my mind when I say this, but on two different levels. we're not paying attention to two really big things that are bigger than anything to do with our economy right now. One is that if and when we do bust this wide open, our country can't afford to pay off the damage that's been done.
Right.
We're done for in that direction. Another direction that we're done for with the economy is that nobody seems to understand that if we got a 78% increase in the next 10 years again, like we just had in autism, that nobody's going to be able to pay taxes. Everybody will be ill. We won't have anybody paying taxes, and almost everybody will need the tax money to live. So our country is not going to be able to sustain this, and it's almost as close as 10 years from now. It is way bigger than the economy problems we think we have right now. This is big. Our country, as far as I'm concerned with, is done for. Like, what's the story they say that the Romans basically killed themselves by putting lead in everything? And they had no idea that they had just poisoned themselves out of existence.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that's what we've done here. We think we're so dang smart in America. It's 250 years, and boom, we've done it to ourselves. It's just gone.
And really, the only salvation would be to absolutely change the medical profession and then go through it as in, yes, these are the indicted ones, these are the ones that screwed up, and it goes from the Rockefellers back in the early 1900s right on with the Flexner report that created this new brand of the medical industrial complex that started causing this. But now you're going to have to just say, we're done with it, we're changing our attitudes, and we're not going to be able to compensate everybody for the damage that was done, but we're going to take these new doctors and we're going to help you, and we're going to stop damaging more, and we're going to move forward. And that's the only way to stop this, because the two other ways are your ways, and both lead to just total damnation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to take into consideration, even with current statistics, and if it all stopped now, I mean, we still have to be prepared with what's going to happen when these children become autistic adults,
right,
and you know how they are going to be covered. I mean, who's going to pay for all of this? I mean,
some Obama.
These kids are going to. Oh yeah, and I think it's really sad. I mean, I don't think there's anything more devastating to hear from a parent than that they are actually afraid to die because they don't know who is going to take care of their child. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than outliving my children. I don't want to be around, you know, the day. But I understand what these people are saying because they're terrified of what's going to happen to this generation that is, you know, going to grow up and who's going to take care of them? And what level of care are they going to get?
That and Dashiell often comments, I'm missing her this year. She should be at this conference, but she couldn't be here. But her line about, you know, I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel and it's a speeding train.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've even talked to an individual today, a father, that said, I actually had another child because I was concerned about who was going to take care of my of my autistic child.
Well, even worse than that, you know, we hear stories from Polly Tommy, the editor-in-chief of Autism File, all the time. She lives in the UK. She gets the stories of the mothers who call her and say, I am going to take my child with me and we're going to.
Wow.
I'm going to end it because I have no one to take care of him. Yeah. And he's getting too old. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to off it. It's just going to be done.
And we've heard the stories where they've just gotten so old and they're so violent that mom can't take care of him anymore. And over in England, it's so bad that it's like the only other alternative is to go into that home and he's better off dead. And that's a frightening thing. And there's no mother that says that that's, you can think, oh, they're psychotic. This is a very real, and you can't even begin to process it. You can't
that
even begin to process it until you live it.
It's desperation.
And, you know, I think a lot of people have pathologized that moment, but really what I think it is the most maternal desperation.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Because there's no way that she could ever think of leaving him. You know, he's in so much pain because there is absolutely no help in the UK. There is no care. There is no such thing as bowel disease over there. They don't allow it to be said. Your child is just, it's just behaviors. Just deal with it. You know, he's in so much pain and getting so older, and I'm getting older. It's disgustingly, heartbreakingly criminal.
I have something that I say that I am living, basically, I am living in the sense of being chased down the road by a poorly run group home. That is part of the fear that energizes my efforts to find new treatments to try with Nick to see if we can make more progress. It's that the idea of that he would need that kind of care, and that the people that were there paid to take care of him weren't nice, and they weren't good to him, and they weren't going to do good things. And, you know, I think whenever fear is what is motivating you, it puts you at a bit of a disadvantage, you know? I mean, absolutely.
And there's no hope. I don't see any. There's hope here, and there are doctors here that are giving us hope, but on a grand scale, I don't see a lot of hope. I don't see a lot of change. No. At the risk of sounding political, the hope and change isn't here.
No.
And it hasn't been here for decades, not just this particular.
There's one thing, though, that's very interesting to me. I'm not going to get the figure right on this, so I'm going to talk in generalities. But I read somewhere that, you know, the sort of mainstream medical effort towards encouraging families to continue vaccinating spends millions and millions. I think I saw a number that was something like $20 billion over a short period of time, 2 to 5 years or something, on advertising and advocating for vaccination. Well, in our community, we have no money left over. We just talk to each other at the school bus when we're picking our kids up.
Mm-hmm.
And one out of every four families is concerned that vaccination is connected to autism. So, winning.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You that's know? And that's where my hope goes.
Right.
Because the general public is not buying it anymore.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Well, and I think we're damaging so many kids that it's touching everybody's life in some way.
The dam has to break at some point.
Exactly.
And I very much relate to what you just said about that couple who said that they had another child. Because I think we are also instilling, you know, those values and those beliefs. Like, my two older kids are so involved. My daughter wanted to come with me. You know, she's so amazing with her little brother. It just and you know, it's funny because my chapter in the book, it talks about that. And it's how a child with special needs affects the siblings. And I have already seen my daughter's 12. She's not even 13 yet, and my son is 10. And I've already heard them say things like, completely changed her mind. She wanted to be a marine biologist. And she doesn't want to be a marine biologist anymore because she doesn't want to move away. And, you know, my son will say things like, it didn't matter if I was a millionaire. I would just want to stay here with you. And it's amazing to see that children, even at that young age, have already completely altered their goals and what they would have done, because they're already preparing to support their younger brother and to be there for their parents who they see struggle on a day-to-day basis. And I hate that pressure's on them.
Yes.
And I hate the idea of feeling like they feel obligated that one day they may have to take care of their brother. And at the same time, I'm so proud and beaming.
It's so thankful
that this child on their own is already a thinking kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Thinking kids. Yeah.
God,
what a concept.
Already,
what a concept.
I mean, I'm already like, God, you're already smarter than many people that I speak to that are adults. Just don't get it.
Yeah.
That, you know, she's already thinking in a very different way.
My daughter's 11, and there are two things that I wanted to add to this. In one regard, I think she has a much greater respect and understanding of how children with differences can find a way to fit in and be accepted. So much, she is so much more evolved than I was before I had an autistic child, and for the population. I mean, there weren't autistic children in my elementary school because the numbers weren't the same. So I didn't grow up with it, so I wasn't accustomed. And so here is my daughter with this wonderful open heart. Second thing I want to say is she's 11 years old, and all the little boys in her fifth grade class are getting the HPV shot. My daughter is coming home and coming home from health class and saying, you know, they're talking about the HPV shot. That's the one I'm not getting because of the video you showed me about the girl who can't walk anymore. That's my thinking kid.
And, you know, the other thing I can say is just as we carry that guilt and that shame and everything else about our children and what we've allowed to have happen to them, There's also that resentment that it happened to us. And I think that's another level in the siblings as well. Because we see it with ours. Our children are so wonderful with Caden. And I know that that we're going to have that support when we're gone for our son. But there's also that level of resentment as far as, why can't I do this or why can't I do that?
Right.
Because you're going to therapy or you're always doing this. And I don't think it's palpable. I don't think it's a problem. But somewhere in that psyche, you have to worry about that this kid's going through so much because of their sibling.
Absolutely.
You know?
And
that's something that we have to be concerned about.
I mean, you do take some things away.
And
even though they're okay with the fact that, okay, Nicholas needs more attention, or Nicholas needs more time, or more assistance with some things. But, you know, it's hard enough, you know, when you're raising multiple children to say, oh God, I love you equally. I promise you.
Right.
I love you equally. I may have bought him something yesterday, but, you know, I love you just as much, and I'm trying to cater to your needs. But they do sort of take, you know, a step back and are okay with it.
Right.
And it really breaks your heart, you know, because it really, you want to say, my gosh, I mean, you deserve to have my attention or a third of my attention
right. Equally.
But it's just not possible. But you see these kids and they just do such amazing things. Like my daughter, you know, we talked about how you said that, you know, autism just wasn't something you talked about when we were kids. I mean, I never went to a birthday party and walked through the door and the first question asked is, okay, does anybody have an allergy here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know what?
I'll
tell you what. Do you have a little bit of time to make another show?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, because we are going to have to end this program. We are already out of time, but I do want to continue. This is such a great conversation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like I said, we are out of time. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com. Don't forget, here, the gloves are off. Have a great one.